Hi, welcome back. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia on the 26th of July 2012. I'm your host, Herewood Fenton, and for the next hour, my guest today is Bronwyn Hancock. Bronwyn has been on this show a number of times before, but not on the live show. Bronwyn is an activist and a supporter of people who are engaged in, I guess, making choices about vaccines that come up against problems with the government and with the courts. She spends a lot of time in court helping people who are in the family court, as I noted in the previous hour. A lot of people, when they have marital disputes, when there's a custody battle over a child, one parent says, look, I want to have the kid vaccinated, and the other parent says no. And because people these days can't seem to resolve their differences in a normal, reasonable way, it ends up in the courts. It's a tragic situation. You know, even for that to occur for a child is really horrendous. But that's the nature of our society. That's unfortunately where we've reached in this kind of degenerate society, as I wish it were not the case, but our civilization is somewhat in decline, I feel. But there are very principled people left, and we are doing whatever we can to try and restore truth, justice, and ethics to public discourse, and that's what this show is all about. And this is what Bronwyn Hancock is all about. Bronwyn has a website you can check out called vaccinationinoz.com, Vaccination Information Service. So, Bronwyn, today what I'd actually like to do is to get your – to kind of step us through the legal status of vaccines in Australia. And I want to actually look at various scenarios and to make it really clear for people so they understand what are their rights and what are the limits of government power. And you know, let's start off with the question about custody battles, because that's a really interesting one and something you've been involved in. What typically happens when there's a custody battle and one parent wants the child to be vaccinated and the other one doesn't?
What normally happens is the one who wants the child vaccinated applies to the family court to that effect, and the family court ends up being the one to make the decision, which I'm not sure that from a common law perspective it should even be allowed to do that, but that's the way it seems to be going on at the moment. Because I would have thought that the prerogative, the right of the parent to refuse should automatically override the right, any right of the parent to accept any medical procedure. But anyway, that's yes. How it works at the moment, and that's the way the lawyers treat it, is that the court seems to... It's perceived that the court does have that power, and that's the way it's treated. But it's not handled in a very fair way, because the politics that affect the information and evidence surrounding vaccination is never considered or taken into account. And the courts have a will tend to favour government policy, and of course the government policy is to recommend vaccination, and so they will tend to go that way. And unfortunately the family court rules allow a lot of discretion to also to the magistrates and the judges when they make their decision. So even if the evidence was came out in the court as against vaccination, they still can make a decision in favour of vaccination. You've got some interesting different factors involved in government policy compared to what the court's deciding, because the when the government makes policy, it makes policy for what it thinks is in the good for the good of the public health overall, rather than individuals. It has that additional they would probably claim they're benefiting individuals as well, but they have that factor involved of what they think is the good for the overall public health. But in respect to these matters in the family court, the public health as a whole is not to be considered as a factor. So that ought to make a difference, but unfortunately, it's not really, the fact that makes a difference is not really properly considered.
Indeed. So in your work, you've actually been supporting people who are involved in these court battles. You're not a legal professional yourself, but you're someone with a lot of knowledge and you're able to help people to put their case forward. Do you actually attend court?
Yes. I've provided some affidavit material. I've helped in a few different aspects and a few little things of administrative problems have gone wrong and last changes at the last minute by the other side, etc. Things haven't gone quite according to plan. So in the case I was involved in recently, the evidence which was we were going to put in from myself didn't end up getting put in, so you get these complicating factors involved.
That must be very frustrating. So what was it simply blocked by the government, or why weren't you allowed to submit the evidence?
It wasn't that I wasn't allowed. It's a bit complicated.
Yeah.
A bit hard to explain in the interview.
Yeah, so a lot of things get very complicated once you get into legal complexities, yeah. Don't they? So have you actually had any successes? I mean, I'd be very interested to know, the successes that you might have had, and also, what happens when it's judged, the judge says, well, sorry, the kid's got to be vaccinated. I mean, that must be a very traumatic experience for the parent who didn't want that to happen. And for the child too, of course.
Yeah. Well, there was a case where the judge did make that decision I'm familiar with, and then the mother appealed, and so then in the family court, that was in the Federal Magistrates Court, then she appealed in the family court, so then it went back to the original court, but then they ended up having a settlement. Came to a settlement anyway. Every matter's different as to what comes up, what evidence comes up, and so forth. So it's a bit difficult to give you an overall picture.
But I guess there are situations that have occurred where it simply has been ruled by the court that this child must be vaccinated, and then the child is just dragged off to get injected. I mean, is that what happens?
Well, I am aware of those cases having occurred. So far, with my ones that I've assisted with, that hasn't happened as yet. But I am aware of that happening in other cases, and the children immediately being damaged by the vaccines. So you can imagine how traumatic it is for the parent that was trying to protect their children, only to have that happen.
It is really one of the worst things I can imagine to have to accept that your child is going to be given some potentially toxic injection, and that you've got no control over it, and that you're told that you have to submit to that. That the whole power of the state, the whole force and violence of the state, can be wielded on a person. Is this type of thing on the rise, do you think, or has this always been around where the family courts have been basically making judgments in this type of matter?
Well, has it been on the rise? That's a difficult one to say, because we're not in a situation where we're some kind of reporting agency, so that whenever this happens, they come to us. So I don't know.
It's probably, yes. It's probably very hard to know, indeed.
Yeah, it is. It is hard to know. I couldn't really give you the figures as to whether there's been an increase in number of cases in recent times.
I mean, one thing that's clear is that the number of vaccines that have been given to kids has increased over time, and I think with the campaigns of people like yourself and Meryl Dorey, that more people are becoming aware of the problems with vaccines. So it seems logical to me that there is more. There's going to be more type of this thing happening in our society, and particularly when you get marriage breakups, where quite often there's strong ideological differences between the two parties. That is likely to be a real flashpoint in this kind of, because we really are dealing here with a struggle of people's rights against the corporate government, aka fascist monopolies.
Yes.
And please continue.
I just say a very important lesson is that before you have a child, please sort out the vaccination issue with your partner.
Oh, it's so important, isn't it?
And sort it out, you know, and perhaps even make a written agreement that just don't get yourself to this situation. It's just not worth it. And the amount of money that's been spent often to, in the end, to no avail, can be horrific, with legal fees when you don't get legal aid are enormous, and the lawyers don't necessarily do a good job.
Absolutely.
Legal team.
I mean, I've even heard cases where family members have restricted access to their children from friends of the family because they've said, well, you're against vaccination. I'm not letting you come to see my newborn baby unless you get vaccinated for A, B, C, D, E, you know. Mm. And you've got to prove to me you've been vaccinated, otherwise you can't see the baby. I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, you know, this is ignorance. The powers that be that push the vaccines, they have this... you know, they love pushing this idea because this way they get the people to police each other and they can just sit back and go for it, let them go for it.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? You just basically, you've programmed people to be their own oppressors, their own jailers.
So they love pushing this idea that we affect each other's health by whether or not children are vaccinated.
Exactly. The herd immunity concept, again, which is just an incredibly counterintuitive one, and we may get on to discuss that. We're just heading to break now, Bronwyn. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Please stay with us. I'm talking to Bronwyn Hancock. We're talking about vaccination and your rights, the legal issues in Australia. We'll be right back after this short break. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
No matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you.
Is the only light we
Hi, welcome back. You're listening to Truth News. Today my guest is Bronwyn Hancock. We're talking about the legal issues and your rights in regard to vaccination in Australia. Bronwyn, can we just move forward to talk about, there's three areas I want to make sure we cover in this show. One being daycare centres, the other being schooling, the other being health rebates. Health rebates is a current topic that's been a lot in the news, and I'll just leave that for now. But initially, let's talk about daycare centres and schooling. What are your rights and what are your obligations in regard to vaccination, getting your kids into these types of situations?
Well, in Australia, and do you want me to just talk about Australia then?
Let's talk about Australia, and if maybe you can expand on that in terms of what you know about other countries as well. Let's start with Australia.
Yeah, well, education is compulsory, but medical procedures are not. And so it's not compulsory and can't be made compulsory for any child to have a vaccine in order to go into school. There is legislation in the states which in the various states, I mean our states within Australia, not the United States. There is legislation in various states where they where the schools are required to ask the parents for the records, to see the records of the vaccination status of the children. And I think some schools may not even properly phrase that question so that it's not just misleading, it even actually is false what they say to parents. But whether it's through actually directly misinformed or just being misled, parents get the impression that that the school actually has to have records of proof of vaccination for the children to go to school, which is not correct. So some parents get misled about that, which is unfortunate because the parents don't know their rights. And I know of parents who have actually, who wouldn't have vaccinated their children, but they vaccinated them because they thought they had to in order for them to go to school.
Unbelievable. So there is no legal binding law that says you have to, your kids have, that you don't even have to show them the information? Like, is there anything like that that you're required to do?
Well, that, as far as the actual, the consequences of not providing that information, that varies. In New South Wales, the onus is purely on the school or childcare centre to request the information, but there is no onus on the parent to even provide the information. So that's it. All happens is the school asks for it. If the parent has not vaccinated and doesn't give them any information, then the school simply just records that child is unvaccinated and that's it. There's no other legal obligation upon anybody. In Victoria, the state of Victoria and in the ACT, the school doesn't get anything, so if a parent parents choose not to vaccinate, they'd be requested to provide a statutory declaration, some documentation that they get through the council, which is sort of documenting that they are a conscientious objector, or religious, whatever the case may be. And so so the ACT in Victoria go that step further, that they actually require the parents to actually provide the documentation, whether it be they be vaccinated or not. It's documentation of, you know, what their status is, and if they're not vaccinated, they're a conscientious objector. And if they don't provide that information, they are actually fined a penalty last thing I'm aware is about $500 penalty is maybe imposed upon them for failing to provide that documentation, which when we have a chance to do so, there's too much to do, but we would like to legally challenge, because it really is an invasion of privacy to require that information to be provided to the school. Anyway, that's how the statute legislation stands in respect to that. But again, we're still talking about the provision of documentation as to what the status is. We're not talking about the proof of vaccination, which is a very different thing.
Bronwyn, can I just pause you there? I actually have a phone call from a very special person. My mother is actually calling in on the show. this is a first time for me. Mum, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening. Yes.
Hi, welcome to Truth News Radio.
Wow, thank you.
Have you been following our show?
No, I just spoke to Chris here. Yes.
Okay, well, we're currently on the show today talking about people's rights, and I have Bronwyn Hancock, who is a kind of a campaigner and an activist in relation to people's rights for choosing their own health care, and she's basically an opponent of vaccines. So this is a subject we talk about a lot on Truth News. Now, of course, my mother grew up in a period of time when there were a lot of disease epidemics, and I think you're probably a believer in vaccines. Is that correct?
Well, yes, it worked well for me, yes.
But what do you think about, you know, people's right to basically make their own choice? Because we're seeing a lot of pressure from the government and the media to basically try and force people to be vaccinated. And, you know, there are many cases where there are known injuries that have occurred, and this has actually been fully documented. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think that the government should have the right to force people to take these procedures?
No, I don't. I think they should be given all the information, but I don't think they should be forced. No.
Yeah,
I think they should be informed, but that's all.
And you're well aware of the failings of the medical industry, the industrial medical complex, as we like to call it. You've had a lot of, you know, skirmishes with doctors that have led to poor outcomes. And I mean, what's your feeling about the way our medical services are kind of sometimes managed?
Well, I think sometimes the doctors don't read all the information they're given, because my doctor was giving me something, I forget the name of it now, and it was totally banned and told to be dangerous afterwards. But he prescribed it for me. And anyway, I stopped taking it, so I was all right. But I don't think there should be any force in anything like that. But I think there should be full information given about what it is. Unfortunately, the chemical companies are so powerful and have so much money for advertising and everything, they can put things over you if you're not careful. And so you have to have things. I don't think you have to have injections and things, no. But I would if I thought it was a good idea, yes. But it would be my decision, not the doctor. Like thalidomide, look at that terrible thing that happened.
Absolutely. We were just talking about thalidomide in the last show with George, and using it as an example to demonstrate how, well, you know, there are cases in the past where it really has been exposed that that all these amazing, you know, regulations and all these amazing systems they have to supposedly protect us can fail. And so really we do need to have the choice. And one of the things that I think that we really need to emphasize is people need to have the choice as consumers to decide what type of product they want to use. And really the doctor should show you every vaccine, and in fact every drug, comes with an insert that tells you all of the potential side effects and adverse effects that go with that drug. I mean, did you, Shirley Fenton, ever experience that with doctors advising you of all of the potential risks that you have had with various medications you've been given?
No. Never. Well, you just did it because of my children were at that age where you had it, and they got it.
Indeed.
And nobody ever got smallpox or diphtheria or anything like that. So in my case, it worked very well. But I didn't question it at the time, no. All those years ago, I didn't question it. I thought the doctors must know what they're doing. I don't know if you can really be so sure of that today.
Indeed. Look, thanks very much for that input. I'm honoured you called in today. We're just actually about to head to break. And we'll be continuing with Bronwyn. Thanks very much for calling in.
told me. Cause she said she learned the hard way. Say she wanna spare the children. She say don't give a say your soul away, cause all that you have is your soul. So don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. Cause all that you have is your soul.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to be talking to you today. My name's Hereward Fenton. And if you would like to call into the show, you're most welcome. I'll just get the numbers up here for you to call. If you're calling from Australia, the number is 1-300-153-372. If you're calling from the US, the number is 512-646-1984. Now, my guest is Bronwyn Hancock, and we were just going through there the legalities about getting your kids into childcare and schooling, and as Bronwyn pointed out, there is really no legal obstruction to your being able to do that. Just one point I wanted to clarify with you, Bronwyn, because daycare centres are privately run, and I do remember reading about this sometime in the past, is that some daycare centres have said, we will simply not accept your children if they're not vaccinated, and it is within their right to do that as they are privately run. Can you just comment on that briefly?
Makes no difference whether they're privately run or not. The legislation applies to all centres.
So does that mean has it occurred, and this may well be spin in the media, as we often see the headline doesn't match the story, but I've definitely seen the spin in the media that suggested that daycare centres were not accepting children unless they were vaccinated. You're saying that's incorrect, or you're saying that they're pressuring parents but probably not giving them the facts, and some people just bend to the pressure. Is that's the way
yes,
it works?
That's right. And I was saying that some daycare centres or schools may not correctly represent what the law is.
Yeah, so they're just saying something that really isn't backed up by law. So they can't technically say, look, you're not allowed in here if you're not vaccinated. That's not within their rights to do that.
In fact, in the New South Wales legislation, it actually has a paragraph which specifically protects the rights of the parents who want to enrol their school where their child's not vaccinated. It actually says that except as provided by, I'm now reading from the legislation, it says except as provided by this section, and that section is merely talking about situation of outbreaks, which is a little bit different, but just for the duration of the outbreaks. A member of the staff of a school, they've now changed it to primary school, but it ought to apply to all schools, so I don't know what's going to happen if this comes up with secondary schools yet. But anyway, say school or primary school or childcare facility must not subject a child who attends or seeks to attend the school or facility to any detriment because of the child's immunisation status. So that is a paragraph which is explicit in the legislation in our... Sorry.
Just highlighting that with a little bit of music. That is an incredibly important point, and I would like to get that quote from you and put it on Truth News, because I didn't know that was in the Act. That's really important. Thank you so much for telling us that.
Yes, there's a lot that's of law which is people need to be aware of, which protects their rights, but they're just not aware of it.
Absolutely. Let's move on to talk a bit about the risks of vaccines, and you were mentioning earlier during the break about what the requirements are in terms of what goes on the insert and what doctors' requirements are to advise patients. Can you just continue and expand on that topic?
Well, there's a common law principle which has actually been enunciated in a high court ruling here in Australia in 1992, Rogers versus Whittaker. And this common law principle is that any provider of any medical procedure or medication has a legal duty of care to warn of all material risks of that medication or medical procedure from the perspective of the patient, and even if the patient does not ask. So this is, for obvious reasons, very important. Everyone, in any decision, particularly about an invasive medical procedure such as vaccination, where in the US it's described as they actually use the words, the US Supreme Court used the words unavoidably unsafe.
Right.
In describing it. So it's you know, it's admitted to be a dangerous procedure. It's invasive. If you ask a doctor what all the ingredients are in the vaccine, they're not going to be able to tell you.
Indeed.
In fact, they don't even, a lot of ingredients on the products inserts, but they don't even seem to read products inserts so much of the time, in our experience of it's reported to us. And so it's what a horrific situation for someone to inject something that they don't know and you don't know into your child without you even being informed what all the consequences are, that even that are listed on the product insert.
Now, of course, now, when you buy a medication that comes in a bottle that you buy, you have that insert and you can see it's in the box. Of course, when you get injected, you don't get to see that because the nurse just comes out with a needle and sticks you in the arm and walks away. But technically, they should be showing you the insert before they do that. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yep. That is a common law principle. I mean, even without Rogers versus Whittaker, it's applicable in common law, but it's actually been put into, it's actually case law now as a high court ruling. And the so-called theory as to what doctors are supposed to do and what happens in reality seem to be grossly two different things. Now, so first of all, they're supposed to provide this information. Doctors themselves seem to be admitting a lack of information about the adverse effects. And of course, having provided the information, of course, then also they are not to apply any pressure to the parent or to the recipient to receive the procedure. But, of course, that's not happening either the way it's supposed to, because doctors apply a great deal of pressure. And they make many parents feel guilty if they don't do it.
Indeed. I mean, quite often you'll visit the doctor for a completely different reason. The doctor will check your records and say, oh, well, you haven't had your shot. So, and yes. They're trained to do that, aren't they?
Yes, hang on. That's correct, yes. So here we have a situation where they're supposed to be doing that, but they're not doing it. But apart from the High Court ruling, it's not mentioned anywhere in the statute legislation that I'm aware of, but here we have the government trying to pressure parents to vaccinate by putting some legislation in which connects vaccination to receipt of childcare benefits. Can you hang on a second?
Absolutely.
Can you go to a break or something?
I'll just keep talking. Can you just go off mic while you deal with that, Bronwyn? What I'd just like to point out is that Bronwyn, yes, you'll need to take that call off mic.
Okay, sorry, I'm not well. I'll see you later.
Okay, bye. Sorry. I'm sorry about that, everyone.
That's fine. Let's just continue. So Actually, this was a really important question, and we got interrupted by the call from my mother last section. Let's talk about the government rebate, because now that has been in the news, and again, from the spin in the news, it looks like parents who don't get their kids vaccinated according to the schedule will miss out on this $2,000, a lot of money. Now, your take on it, and I've double-checked this, is correct. Actually, there is no compulsory vaccination. Can you just please expand on that?
Yes, it's very important that it's not simply a matter of you vaccinate, you get the full payment, you don't vaccinate, you don't. It's not about whether you vaccinate or not. It's about whether or not you have provided to the government, evidence that you've been informed about the risks on each side of vaccination. And if they receive that documentation, the wording they use is a recognised immunisation provider has certified in writing that he or she has discussed with the adult the benefits and risks of immunising the child, and the adult has declared in writing that he or she has in the case of conscientious objection of the child being immunised. Of course, you've got medical contraindication, you've also got natural immunity, et cetera, and some other circumstances. But this has been described as an immunisation incentive. The implication by when people use the word immunisation incentive, it's like an extra reward that's given to parents, a special reward they're given for vaccinating,
which is not completely incorrect.
It's actually a benefit which in normal circumstances everybody would be entitled to, but what they're doing is...
Bronwyn, I'll just have to pause you there. We're going to break. I'll get you to continue with that. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, talking to Bronwyn Hancock. Really important interview. Please stay with us.
Seems to me like they want us to be afraid, man. Maybe we just like being afraid. Maybe we just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us. Part of our culture. Security alert on orange. It's been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that. Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit. The corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Liv, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life throwing strife into the...
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. You can find our website at www.truthnews.com.au. We're getting some amazing information from Bronwyn Hancock today, information which is of extreme importance. If you are someone who stands up for your rights, someone who believes that we should have health freedom, the things that Bronwyn is telling us are essential, and I'm going to try and put as much of that info on the website in the show notes for this show as I can. Important points about what is actually in the Act in terms of enshrining your right to choose as to whether you get vaccinated or not, and also your ability to get all of the existing government benefits and rebates without being vaccinated. And in some cases, you may need to fill out a statutory declaration saying that you're a conscientious objector. Bronwyn, you were just stepping through that process. So if I'm a parent, I don't want to have my kids vaccinated, I want to get the rebate, what do I do?
Well, you, according to the legislation, it says that you need to see a recognised immunisation provider, as they call it, who will provide information. It's supposed to provide information to you on the risks of both sides, and then they sign that they've provided that information to you. However, there is another option which has been available, which presumably will still be available with the slight change in legislation from 1st of July this year, which is available that the parents actually just put a statutory declaration in that such information has been provided to them by a doctor, and they provide the names of a couple, we should say recognised immunisation provider, which is usually a doctor, and they provide the names of two such doctors if they're in the city, or one such doctor if they're in the country, to verify that they've done so. And the reason that option's there is because many doctors, and they're being encouraged to do this, are actually abusing their position of power, which is like an unintentional consequence of the legislation.
Right.
The legislation is merely just to ensure that parents are fully informed, so it's a fully informed decision. But because it requires the signature of the doctor, many doctors are encouraged, and many are obstructing, really unlawfully obstructing the process by refusing to sign the form. So
incredible, incredible.
It is incredible, yeah. And a letter that was sent to doctors by a lady in the AMA recently actually told them that it was they had every right to refuse to sign the form if they felt that they weren't well enough informed about the adverse effects of vaccination.
Right, from the AMA itself.
Well, if the doctors don't feel they're well informed about the adverse effects of vaccination, they shouldn't be in the position of vaccinating children or adults.
Indeed.
They're supposed to be well informed. They're supposed to be providing such information to the patients before they receive the vaccines. So, if they feel that they're not competent, not knowledgeable enough to inform people about such things, then they're effectively admitting they're not really competent to be vaccinating children or adults.
So, of course, and
but they don't see it that way. But it's the obvious logical consequence.
It's just so crooked, isn't it? I mean, and of course, there's no compensation. Has there ever been compensation in a legal case for someone who's been injured by vaccines in Australia?
Well, it's difficult to get compensation in Australia because, unlike many countries, we don't have the compensation system.
Yes.
Like they have in the US, the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program that's in the US, and there's a similar one in many countries. So in Australia, in order to get compensation, it would only occur if the doctor did not give the vaccine by the standard guidelines as to how the procedure is to be administered. That's really basically the case.
So what about the cases where, I know there's been some deaths in Australia, I think there were a couple from the swine flu vaccine. I mean, what's the case, what's the status of those deaths?
What's the status of the deaths? As compensation?
Yeah, I mean, do parents have no recourse? They just, sorry, your kid's dead, forget about it. Is that it?
Well, I know that the couple have been, his child was damaged, the couple in WA, his child was damaged by the I think it was the swine flu vaccine.
Yeah.
They initiated legal action against the pharmaceutical company, but I don't know where that, where the proceedings have reached to date.
Indeed,
in respect to that case, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, sorry to interject.
Yeah,
we haven't got much time left.
I'm just going to say that's a further reason why it's obviously so vital for parents to be fully informed before the vaccine's given. But I mean, the issue of the damage is in itself is absolutely crucial. But then you've got that addition thing that there isn't even any financial compensation available.
It's just so tragic. Look, before the show times out, I'd just really like to briefly get you to cover what you've been doing with balancing risks, and because you've actually been looking at all of the information, and you've actually been using the inserts from the vaccines themselves to look at the risk factors. And if you could, we've got about 5 minutes, but if you could just briefly run through what you've been able to glean from that information, I'll give you the floor.
Yes, certainly. Because you have the situation in courts where you've got such a the difficulty with the evidence that can be admitted, I thought that let's do it so that it doesn't require any change of paradigm and just take the government figures of the what they say is the risk of getting a complication of the disease and the notification rates of the diseases and put that, multiply those two together, and then put that together against, compare that to the frequency ranges which are listed for the many adverse effects on the product inserts of the vaccines.
Yes.
And all these figures are available, but no one before seems to have actually sat down and spent the enormous amount of time required to sit down and actually do the calculations and add them all up. So that's what I've been doing. And so it's a very objective process. It's taking the government's own data, the manufacturer's own data, and doing comparison based on that. And it's been very interesting to see that even with their own data from those that are promoting vaccines, when you do that comparison, take into account the reported cases of the disease in particular, you look at all the adverse effects listed on the product insert and add out all the frequencies, well, even with the individual ones, you see, such as, you know, you pick pneumonia and you look at the risk on either side, the risk from the vaccine is, time and time again, with each of them, is much higher than it is if a child is unvaccinated, according to their figures. Because what they normally don't do is they don't tell you what the risk is of the child actually getting the disease in the first place. And, you know, so with measles, the risk is about 1 in 1,000 of a child between the age of 1 and 14, inclusive, getting measles. So you multiply that by the chance of the complications, so you actually get quite a low risk of any complication, and the risk of the complication of the vaccine is much higher. So it's
so can I just ask, just briefly, where does that piece of information come from about the risk of getting measles? Where can we verify that information from? Where does it come from?
The government produces reports on a regular basis.
Right.
And which is their notifiable diseases. So that because when diseases the doctors diagnose diseases, they are supposed to report them to the government, so they keep a record.
I see.
And
so that risk of 1 in 1,000, and I assume that applies to the general population, most of whom are vaccinated. So this leads me to assume that your risk is 1 in 1,000 even if you are vaccinated. Is that correct?
Well, I'd have to do a separate calculation, but there are various complicating factors that go into it when it comes to ending up with a reported case of the disease. Because,
right.
Doctors are often, without them even realising it, are biased against reporting the cases in the vaccinated. You know, there are several reasons for this. One of them is they think the vaccine works, so when the disease occurs, they think it can't be the disease because the child's vaccinated.
Yes.
It can also be because the effect of the vaccination is it derails the immune system, therefore it affects the symptoms that are experienced when you're affected by the pathogen. And because the symptoms are altered, and the doctor bases their diagnosis by looking at the symptoms, that can also dissuade them from diagnosing the disease for what it is. So,
and yet, despite all that, the government is still reporting 1 in 1,000, which is higher than I would have thought, because a vast majority of people are vaccinated. So, if the rate is still 1 in 1,000, that in itself says to me, hey, you know, what's going on here? I mean, when they say 1 in 1,000, do they mean of the general population, which I assume they do, because they don't do specific subsets of statistics for the unvaccinated and the vaccinated? I mean, that's just incredible that they're acknowledging that 1 in 1,000 will get measles even the way things are now, with 95% being vaccinated.
Well, that's a figure that I worked out as the absolute, is kind of a maximum for unvaccinated children. I haven't done a figure for vaccinated, That's what I've done as a maximum from vaccinated, and that's adding up all the years. So on an annual basis, you divide that by 14, okay?
Right.
Okay.
Sorry, Brian, we have run out of time.
Okay.
That was really interesting. I'll try and put some more info on that on our site in relation to your research there. And, of course, the website is vaccinationinoz.com. And, Bronwyn, we'd love to have you back.
Good. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you today. And we'll be back next week with all of our usual coverage. And we welcome your comments. We welcome your criticisms. If you have any, please get back to us. Over and out from Truth News Radio.